Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We had a city council meeting in Gulf Breeze last night. Therefore, we are talking now to city manager Sam Abel. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good to have you. So I know you know that my wife and I bike all over the area all the time, and we are now biking in your, not quite your yard, but your backyard, your side yard, your neighbor's yard in Tiger Point. One of the things, before we get to last night's agenda, I just wanted to make sure to ask you about this. One of the things that we ran into was the flooding on Maplewood last week, I think it was, and we saw some other places like on Ceylon, I don't know how you say it, on Sunday as well. But the allegation was made online, and I wanted to ask you about it, that the reason Maplewood and some of the other areas, I assume by inference, flood is because outflow drainage from the golf course, the west course, the non-functioning course, has not been maintained very well. Hence, it's kind of the city's fault when you used to own it.
Yes. So that was a surprise to me as well, Andrew. First, it's important to understand, a few geographical points. One, Tiger Point is outside our incorporated city limits. It's in the county, but it's our greater Gulf Breeze area.
Right.
The city still owns that property, and it is still maintained. It is one of our spray fields. We have spray fields that include Tiger Point Golf Course, which accounts for about two-thirds of our spray fields, and then also further down the highway, closer to the Gulf Breeze Zoo. And so we don't just use one property for our spray fields, we use others. The West Course is property that we are maintaining as green space for the neighbors there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a portion of that, about 15 acres, will be where we expand the existing treatment plant. So it is still maintained, but it is not where we use our spray field because we have those other options. Obviously, it's more important to keep that East Course green and lush, and then we have our other spray fields. So there was no wet weather discharge. We weren't spraying during the rain, and we very seldomly used the West Course for spray fields. So I heard as well, got a call from Channel 3 that, said there was some post made that there was flooding due to the West Course. And so we were able to quickly provide information to Channel 3 about that. And also I called Commissioner Colton Wright, who lives in that area, and said that he actually had driven through and that there was flooding on the streets that did not make it into the homes. But it was due to, of course, the lack of stormwater infrastructure, which was not required when that neighborhood first developed. And so the city doesn't provide the stormwater infrastructure. That's county. Santa Rosa County right now, of course, is having strategic planning town hall meetings, one of which this week at Tiger Point Community Center. And they're addressing things like stormwater infrastructure, which, as we know, inside a city is a challenge after a subdivision has been built, much more costly to come back and have to install that after the fact. But we were surprised to hear that obviously there's a lack of stormwater infrastructure on the streets and in South Santa Rosa County, which has had unprecedented growth. So that is not coming from runoff from the golf course. Very obviously, it's a wonderful asset to have that park, which allows the rainwater to percolate. So that is helping the stormwater. It's not impervious. It's not asphalt. There's no runoff from that green space.
Okay. Well, and that answers it, because the allegation had been that the drainage ditches weren't being maintained, but that would be off of your property. That'd be county anyway. But you're saying that because they are green space, they're direct drainage into the ground and not runoff anyway. So that's useful. I hadn't been perceiving it that way. And you're right, by the way, Colton Wright, he has been, it's kind of interesting. He's very active in terms of monitoring the area, policing the area, seeing what the problems are. And I appreciate that in the new county commissioner. To last night's meeting, you guys had a bunch of things that are kind of economic development, business friendly, including a facade improvement program in conjunction with the county, right?
That's right. What a meeting. In fact, Commissioner Colt Wright was at our meeting last night. Very business-friendly agenda. You know, when you see these things on the agenda, it's the iceberg effect. So our public often doesn't know the many months and years that it takes to come to the point where it's ready for city council consideration. Numerous items that met that description last night, and I'm going to rattle them off pretty quickly. First, 2 years ago, the city council created a facade improvement program whereby there would be grants to our bricks and mortar businesses to help them improve their facades. That program has never really gotten off the ground. The last 2 years, the funding has been used for stormwater inside the community redevelopment area. Those projects are done, and now with the opportunity for the America Rescue Plan stimulus, the council at their last meeting had been considering another project that was on the agenda last night, which is to incentivize the redevelopment of a blighted old Eckerd. And they said, you know, Samantha, we really want to circle back and make sure that we're doing all we can for our existing businesses, in addition to the small business development grants that were offered earlier in the year. And so it just so happened, I mean, by divine providence, that Commissioner Colton Wright reached out to Mayor Fitch and myself the next day and said that he wanted to see if we could leverage the local dollars from stimulus monies with our community redevelopment area and with the monies the city would be receiving. So that's what we talked about last night, where we are contemplating a pool of money that would take several years to completely draw down on. We'll be reaching out to all of our local businesses, but these are businesses that have had to defer their capital maintenance, to defer even repairs after Hurricane Sally to their roof and their surroundings, because they've had to do all they can to keep their employees on the payroll. And so we'll be working with them, but this is, you know, very exciting. Again, as Commissioner Wright said last night, we understand what the federal government, you know, is doing is can be pretty reckless, you know, depending on how that money is used. But here is an opportunity to put that stimulus to work as it is intended to help those businesses who need it most. So
yeah, that's great, because as you say, they've been working to keep themselves afloat and not been able to put into the money into the beautification and improvement and facade development that would be normal. But yet now they're going to be able to be helped with that. That's a great and leveraging of the money. Hang on for me for just a second, Sam. We're talking to Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. I did have one other thing I wanted to get to with you. I know we spent a lot of time talking about the drainage question. Davis, one last question I had for you, Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze, is you have. Where are we at with the multi-use path? How soon? That's what everyone, you know, how soon is it going to be done?
Great question. That was another one of those projects on the agenda last night. This is our longest capital project that we've had in our longest long-term plans, taken several years to get on the agenda last night. The council awarded the bid last night as our first covenant project. What we talked about, Andrew, very quickly is that we're sandwiched between two big projects that went to the lowest bidder, that being the destroyed Pensacola Bay Bridge and that being the Pensacola Beach sign, which hasn't worked since day one.
Ouch.
And so in October, after Sally, the council adopted its covenant project policies, which are intended to make sure that local dollars for these big projects are reinvested here locally, that they're, to all extent possible, is in a commitment of local jobs. So this is that first project. It was awarded last night. There's still some details to iron out. We had another firm last night come and speak very strongly and passionately because they love this project. They wanted it to be awarded to them. They were also very strong, but they did not have the similar detailed commitment of local jobs as did the winning firm. And so that's a great example of this process looks at the overall best value and making sure that there is a commitment of local jobs to the most maximum extent possible, rather than these projects just going to the lowest bidder. So this is our first such project. Won't be our last. We have others coming, including our police department that will be breaking ground this year. But that was a huge hurdle last night and a lot of conversation.
When are we expecting it to be completed?
Well, that's a very good question. We talked about timeline. I'm going to say this summer good.
Wow,
I'm going to take a page from FDOT, and I'm going to say I'm not going to overcommit, especially given the challenges with materials. We're going to say this summer, Andrew.
You should have said that we'll have one lane of the multi-use path open by...
that's perfect.
I know. and by the way, something I'd never quite thought of, but you're talking about it made me think of it, is that, you know, local jobs also means local accountability, which certainly we are well aware of the value of that these days, which is, you know, something I'd never really thought of in terms of that, the aspect of covenant with the community projects. Sam Abel, she is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, as always, thanks for the time. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
820 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. So this is kind of a, people sometimes make interesting connections. Matt Dixon, who is the bureau chief for Politico Florida, he says the bill to shield lawmaker addresses from public records, which is a bill being considered right now, is up in the Senate Appropriations Committee. The bill's been filed in the past, but seems to have momentum this year. I'd agree. It seems to have momentum this year. Just so happens it's ahead of redistricting. The bill was taken up and passed with no debate, even as he was typing this tweet. So you get what he's pointing out. How would you be able to know and or bring a charge against somebody who doesn't live properly in district if it's illegal to find out where your lawmakers live because that's shielded from a public records request? I mean, look, I've always found it a little bit odd that you can go and look up people's addresses online, especially people who are, on the one hand, I want public to have access. On the other hand, I don't know, man. But you ought to at least know they live in district, and how can you know that if you can't look up their address? I mean, that's just, I hate to say it, but that's just logic. He's right. 824 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Former President George W. Bush calling for a pathway to citizenship for immigrants brought here illegally as children. The 43rd president telling the Today Show change is needed.
The system really needs to be reformed and fixed. Two things I think will help alleviate that. One is an asylum process that is more robust. There needs to be more judges and more courts so people can have a fair hearing. And secondly, we need to change the work visas.
In a recently penned op-ed in the Washington Post, Bush also argued for stronger border security and against a pathway to citizenship for those who came here illegally as adults. Exactly a month after the first day of spring, old man winter still around. Snow on track today in parts of Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, moving into Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan later on today.
I still can't believe you're talking about snow in April, but okay, go ahead.
It happens. Yeah. It happens. A North Carolina woman believed to have been the oldest living American has died. Hester Ford passed away over the weekend. She was 116 years old. Born while Teddy Roosevelt was president, got married at the age of 14, went on to have 12 children and dozens
of great grandchildren.
It's just amazing to me, anybody, all the history that she's witnessed.
I mean, she kind of could start her own city
with her offspring.
You know, mm-hmm. Which is amazing. She had, 12 kids directly?
12 children. Mm-hmm.
14 years old, Teddy Roosevelt. Somebody was alive during Teddy Roosevelt. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, it was anyway. 826 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen. Oh, and by the way, just one. We don't know her age, right? It was either 115 or 116, depending on which census count you believe. I guess there was some uncertainty about it. It was like the exact year, one way or the other. We weren't sure one, which is also fascinating that that could be true, but it is. I love a good snarky comment. Hearing President Bush's comments about immigration, somebody texts in here says, I'm glad Mr. Bush feels so strongly about immigration. Boy, if he were ever president, he would get this fixed. I mean, that's pretty good. You gotta give credit where credit is due. That's pretty funny. 437-1620. There's a new shortage in the pandemic. You know, we're back into aluminum and, you know, toilet paper, all the different things that we've gotten. Are you ready? You got to brace yourself for this one. It may or may not affect you, okay? The people that it affects are probably going to feel pretty strongly about this. But what's the thing that we're short of in the pandemic? Are you ready? Boba tea. Boba tea! Bubble tea? Short. Careful. Tapioca pearls are in short supply.
Your money now. The stock market is open. The Dow is down 130 points at 33,948. The NASDAQ's off 34 at 13,885, while the S&P is down 11 points at 41.52. Federal officials looking into a deadly Tesla crash in Texas. Two men died when the car hit a tree over the weekend and burst into flames. Police say it appears no one was driving, but Tesla's CEO tweeted the car's autopilot was not enabled. Johnson & Johnson reporting quarterly sales of $100 million on the strength of its coronavirus vaccine. J&J ringing up a $22.32 billion revenue mark compared to Wall Street's estimate of $21.98 billion. Facebook continues adding to its platform, the social media company developing an audio feature allowing users to engage in real-time conversations with others. The new feature will be called the Live Audio Room, expected to be available this summer. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, Davis, I guarantee in advance you are going to both appreciate and hate this question.
All right. My favorite kinds.
All right. Here's the question. Pay careful attention. For whom is it a good idea to use the word whom? 437-1620. Off air earlier in the show, Davis had mentioned to me his struggles with figuring out, you know,
who and him.
Yeah, whether who or whom is the appropriate word to use and under what circumstances. And I gave him the solution, by the way. I'll give it to you in a minute. But it raises the other question, which is, even if you know how to properly use whom in a sentence, should you? Is it a good plan? 437-1620, 437-1620. I will take for granted that we're talking about oral communication. Written communication, I think you could make the case that you have a little bit higher obligation to comport yourselves in line with good grammar. But, you know, when you're talking to a person or talking to a person, if you prefer to not use apostrophes in your sentences, should you or shouldn't you use the word whom? 437-1620, 437-1620. See, Davis, let me ask you the question. When you're talking,
mm-hmm.
do you ever use the word whom? Or are you more scared you're going to get wrong?
So basically off air, I told Andrew that I feel that I'm pretty good with grammar, especially when I'm writing. However, I've always struggled with who or whom.
You're not the only one.
When is the right time, right way? How do you use it? All that stuff. It always has been a thing for me. And he put it in a way that I'm like, all right, I'll try and apply that. So if you know how to use it, then I think you should exercise it and try and make the grammar sound as good as it possibly can. But if you're just going to be pretentious about it, then just be yourself. If you're going to use who, use who. And I think, Andrew, I'm always going to still say who.
Okay, so here's my observation about this is you always sound pretentious when you use it.
But if you genuinely know how to use the word.
I know. I understand. And see, the risk you run if you use it correctly is 95% of people don't know how to use it correctly. And so to them, you sound like a pretentious jerk. For the few people who do know how to use it correctly, even for some of them, it still sounds a little weird because nobody uses it properly, especially in oral communication. But then if you don't use it to the 5%ers, let's say, the pretentious crowd, then they're going to be angry at you and they're going to think ill of you because you didn't use it properly. 437-1620, 437-1620. Weigh in on this. Should you or shouldn't you use the word whom again when you're speaking? Because if you might say, yes, you should use it when you're speaking, in which case you'll obviously say you should use it when you're writing. But you might even say, not even when you're writing, I suppose, but certainly not when you're speaking, right? They kind of, you know, maybe they live or die together. Oh, somebody here said, a little Hemingway for you, for whom the bell tolls. Right, right. I agree. I understand. Somebody here says, whomsoever. It's true. It's a great word. Oh, it's not a word that people use in casual conversation. So, as somebody who loves grammar, as somebody who believes in good grammar, and who hopefully gets it right most of the time, even I have a couple of areas where I have to think it through for a second. Even for me, I don't like to use it when I'm speaking. I will circumlocute. Circumlocution means that you find another way to say a thing, to say the same thing in a way that's not problematic at all. It's especially useful when you've lost a vocabulary word. In foreign languages, they use the term circumlocute to find another way to say it. I will sometimes work around a whom just because I don't want to be that guy or to be perceived at it. Somebody here says, oh, it's a boring question. Write it correctly. Say it who. All right, fair enough. Which is what I've been taking is the approach is you should write it as whom and you should say it as who. But even so, it'll grind on me to say it wrong. It will. It'll grind on me to say it the wrong way. Somebody else says, let's see, languages like everything else evolve. Some words become useless. Oh, absolutely true. One of the problems here is that people, what might be a sort of live controversy in language today, will be settled in 5 years or 10 years. Case in point, he, him, and they, or he, she, and they. People just say they, even though they is a plural, especially now when it's your pronoun of choice. And in writing, like, you know, sometimes I'll look at people's writing for them and you don't even say he and she anymore. You just say they, right? Which is not correct if it's a single, but there it is. That's the way we do it. 843 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. So here's my advice. If you do, in fact, know how to use whom and who correctly, I still recommend you probably don't do it in public. Just, you know, the upside is small pride, correctness. The downside is most people, it grates them a little bit. And by the way, sometimes you get it wrong. Do we have somebody that wants to weigh in on this?
He didn't want to go on air, but his comment was, you know, if you're gonna use it, just go ahead and use it. Maybe even add like a little wink to it every time you use the term, just because you know, not many people use it. But I'm with that. You know, if you know how to use the word, you genuinely know how to use the word, then I say, man, use it and almost flaunt it.
But flaunt it. Show off. Be showing. Okay. All right. You want to know how to do it, how to figure it out? And this, it will not be intuitive for you. If you don't already know how to use it intuitively, it's never intuitive to learn the rule. But the rule is actually very simple. If you would say he or she, you say who. And if you would say him or her, you say whom. Done. Typically, though not always, typically you use it in terms of a preposition. So gave it to him, to whom, or to whom did you give it? You see, if I say that out loud, stop it. But yeah, who did you give it to? Not correct. Even though the to and the who are separated, and you shouldn't dangle your prepositions either, you've used the wrong pronoun. But I digress. 845 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, where is beer the cheapest? I found out from a local expert. We were at Gold Ring Distributing last week for Leadership Santa Rosa, and he gave us a lot of really interesting information, including where is your beer the cheapest? The answer may surprise you. I'll tell you about that coming up.
Who's the leader of lost leaders in beer? Does anybody know? Where do you buy your best price beer at?
What a great question. Talk about hooking an audience. I was at Gold Ring Distributing in East Milton last week for Leadership Santa Rosa. This is Mike Johnson, and he's telling us about the three-tier system, you know, the producers, the distributors, and then the end sellers, and then your tier four, the end consumer. You know, a system that is weird and archaic and bizarre, but it's Florida. And he said, you know, okay, so who sells the cheapest beer? Everybody's paying attention now. First answer, the Navy base.
That's actually not true.
My answer?
Grocery outlet.
That's close, but not true. Grocery Outlet doesn't sell for loss.
Grocery Outlet, Grocery Advantage often have good deals on beer. So who's got the best deal on beer? I was like, I think most people, kind of stunned by the answer.
Dollar General is your best place to buy beer.
What?
And nobody knows they even buy beer.
Exactly.
Well, you can buy a 15-pack of Miller Lite, which costs you $14.99, or you can sometimes get it for, no, it's $14.99. You can get it at Dollar General for $12.99. They lose money on every case. And they have three or four different items in there that they lose money. It's absolutely amazing. Nobody knows they sell beer, but they sell the cheapest beer. So...
So go get you some before everybody else who listens to the show goes over there. I had a half a dozen at least people text me already. I am going to Dollar General for beer today. And I went by yesterday just out of curiosity. Now, I don't drink Miller Lite or Bud Light or any, you know, I drink good beer. Sorry, just this is the way it is. But, you know, it's okay. I still buy from these guys indirectly because they distribute the IPAs and stuff too. But, yeah, I checked. He's right. It's cheaper than everywhere, which is amazing because, as he said, most people don't know it. Now, there was other stuff. There were other things that we learned. There's other stuff in this conversation. Now you got me thinking about grammar, and I'm feeling all self-conscious. Davis, we asked the beer question earlier, so that one is not news to you, but how about this one?
Second thing you may not know about the beer business. Anybody walk into a store lately and can't find Corona, Miller Lite, any of that good stuff, right?
Have you noticed, Davis, that you cannot find Corona or Miller products very easily?
Well, I did find it yesterday, but anyways.
Do you know why?
I would say Corona because coronavirus,
nope.
I think it made a rise in popularity.
Well, there's some truth to that. That's a slice of it. Here's the reason why Miller.
So who knows if Miller Lite got hit with a cyber attack 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, in March.
So Miller Coors got hit with a massive cyber attack and shut them down. So they had all these trucks sitting on their brewery lots that they didn't know who to send the trucks to.
Wow.
Right? So, of course, that takes a little bit of time to dig out. So next week is when we're supposed to start getting Miller Lite suits, 18-packs. You could walk into our warehouse right now, and normally we're loaded up ready for war, and you can see right through it. It's scary.
I didn't know that either, but I went back and looked, and sure enough, cyber attack against Miller Coors, and that's why Coors Miller products not available. How about Corona? Separate issue.
And then Constellation. Anybody know what's going on with Constellation? That's Corona. Okay, so if you see Corona, you might want to get it. Okay? So Corona last year was up 20%. Modelo up 30%. Okay, rocket fire brands, right? It's on fire. So when you plan for this year, and they plan, they're budgeting another 20-25% up, right?
Wow.
And then here comes 2021, and we're up 50.
50
okay.
percent.
There's also this shipping problem you may have heard of. So getting product from Mexico into their distributor centers in the United is all just this mass. It's COVID. It's, you know, nobody wants to work, et cetera, et cetera. So when we get beer, it's immediately out of here.
And that's amazing because it is, Davis, the you know, you would have thought that the coronavirus caused a problem for them. Opposite problem. Plus the year's shutdown. So their brand is way up.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is shipping and finding truckers. That's one of the problems. He was talking about that a bunch. Is that you just can't, I mean, you can't find people. You know how we talked about, like, Escambia County is always hiring, Santa Rosa County. Everybody's hiring. Every business is hiring. You can't find people. You can, just, people don't want to work. They're making unemployment. They're making stimulus check. They don't want $50,000 to drive a truck. $50,000 to drive a truck. Local. We're not talking over the road. That's 70. Nobody wants to work. It's crazy. They can give me a he said, give me a body. Give me somebody who's breathing.
But the status of us is, I think we're just like everybody else in the county, is we need people. All right? So if you know anybody, high school kid getting ready for summer, college kid that's home for summer, your next door neighbor's got a CDL, if they're breathing and want to work, I'll take them. And I'll do whatever they want to do. They want to drive a truck, fine. They want to ride on a truck, fine. They want to work in the warehouse, no problem. All right.
They're at their limit on drivers and distribution and talking about the prospects of having to maybe restrict service because they can't find drivers. At 50 grand a year, they can't find drivers. Amazing. 8:55 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
All right, where are my hockey fans at? The story's for you as Patrick Marleau, San Jose Sharks forward, he stands alone on the NHL record books for most games played all time. He passed Gordie Howe. He yesterday played in his 1,768th game at the age of 43. I think I said 41 earlier, age of 43. Gordie Howe was 51 when he played his final hockey game. So congratulations to Marleau. Still skating, been playing with the Sharks since 1997. Alex Smith, former NFL quarterback now, as he announced yesterday, he is retiring from the game of football, posted a video on Instagram. He was the first overall pick by the 49ers back in 2005, also played for the Chiefs and the Washington football team. He had suffered a devastating leg injury, was the comeback player of the year last year, just for returning back to the field, but also led the football team to the playoffs. So a very good career. Congratulations to Smith. There's a story that came into my mind. I did not write it, and it's now escaping my mind. And I feel like I'm going to kick myself if I don't bring it up. But now I just can't. I can't think about it. I can't think about it. I lost my train of thought.
You should think about it. We'll bring it up.
I'll think about it. I'm David Allen, the Quick Shot, and also your traffic on the fives. It appears that Garcon Point Bridge is still showing some slight delays, but starting to smooth out once again, faster than it certainly was before. That's northbound. Southbound is smooth, and also checking in clears Avalon in both directions, along with I-10 and I-110. I'm David Allen with your traffic on the fives.
.58 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Chauvin verdict today. What do you think?
I think they're going to say he's guilty.
I still think tomorrow. Will there be unrest if it's a guilty verdict? Will there be unrest?
There might be protesting of some sort.
Depending on the level of the charge is what I would say. If there's not guilty, unfortunately, I think there will be unrest. And I certainly hope not. I certainly hope that we can have a civil society regardless. Veterans Memorial Park, will that portable restroom trailer ever sit on that concrete pad in Admiral Mason Park? I also think no. Will they get permanent restrooms?
Yes.
I hope. Joe Buck going to do Jeopardy?
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. Vaccine passports added to the emergency bill yesterday in the Florida Senate. Is that going to become a law that you cannot require people to have vaccinations to enter your business?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting how this works out with airlines and with the cruise industry as well. And will Dollar General sell out of beer today now that we have broadly publicized that they have the cheapest beer?
I say no.
You know.
Keep it a secret.
I would go early. That's all I'm saying.